Welcome to Stories of Stories. I'm your host, Mike Chin. In each edition of this podcast, I explore the stories behind a specific creative project, process, or experience. I'll be talking about projects on this show with the expectation that either you're already familiar with the project I'm talking about, so for example, if it's a story you've already read it, or you don't plan to read it. Regardless, what I'm trying to get across is that this podcast will include all kinds of spoilers, so please listen no further if you don't want anything spoiled. The topic of this episode is Preston Burns, Life Unlimited. This is a project that I launched in 2006. The concept was that I would tell the serialized story of a college student by posting entries that were generally between 500 and 1500 words every single day. So it would be a blog concept where, again, I would update the blog and, you know, literally every day there would be new material going up. I got this idea the fall after I graduated from college. Part of that is most certainly the fact that I was not entirely ready to move on myself from my college years. I'd had a really good experience, especially after the first year, year and a half, when I kind of settled in and made some really good friends and built a life there. And so, you know, I was definitely missing that period in my life. I was also working at a college at that point. I moved on to university for my first, you know, full-time job. And so I was still around college students all the time. It's still a world that I was pretty immersed in. And a lot of my experiences are certainly embedded in the story of this blog. You know, there's kind of the old writer's saying of write what you know, and then you can definitely make the argument that I almost went a little too far with that in this case. There's, you know, the college newspaper that plays pretty heavily into this blog storyline, especially in the earlier going, some conflicts with student government there, later on some involvement with residence life, all of which were, you know, again, pretty close to the experiences I had either in college or over summer jobs or, you know, shortly after college. There was also a cappella playing a fairly significant role. At the time, I saw a cappella as something that was kind of on the rise as a form of entertainment, as a genre of music, particularly on college campuses. So it seemed really relevant to feature it on the site. And this is before the a cappella blog. This is before I considered myself really a part of the a cappella world in any meaningful way. But Preston is dating a girl from a college a cappella group, not so different from the fact that I was dating a woman in a college a cappella group when I started this site. So, you know, at the time, I actually, you know, did my research. I sat in on an a cappella rehearsal with her group to get ideas of how the rehearsal ran to inform what I was going to be writing about there. So there were a lot of story arcs that went on over the course of this blog, and, you know, fortunately some of them did branch further off from my own experience. One of the first dramatic turns in the story sees Preston start to have kind of a courtship and ultimately an affair with a friend of his romantic interest, Emma. That's, you know, again, one of the kind of first dramatic turns. It was pretty important to me because it kind of set a tone of this character. Preston is going to be pretty human. Not everything he does is going to be particularly likable, but my aim was that everything he did would be relatable. You know, so no one's going to necessarily cheer for the guy who's cheating on his girlfriend, but I know a lot of people have been in situations that may have been tempted to do so, and, you know, may have even done so, and learned something from that moment, you know, as Preston does. You know, that new relationship doesn't last. It was kind of started in a place of turmoil, and sort of ends in a similar fashion. I had Preston, you know, start dating another character, a woman he met at working at the newspaper at his college. The way they got together was kind of through this ghost story where the two of them were staking out a haunted dorm. This character that he's with was largely kind of the rebound girl for Preston. You know, he ended up being the longest relationship I showed kind of in scene, you know, over the course of the blog, but, you could tell his heart really wasn't into it. And, you know, he ending up back with Emma after it was all said and done. But I also had these summer angles that I wove into the story that I was pretty proud of at the time. You know, so there are things like him having this kind of almost romance with a woman he meets working at a clothing store. You know, no surprise, I worked at a clothing store the summer before I left for college as well. But, you know, it turns out this woman is caring for a child, and it gives Preston some pretty good perspective on, you know, what kind of priorities and whether people are going through and, you know, how that all adds up relative to his college life. The next summer, I had Preston in kind of a more high-stakes adventure kind of situation. He has hints of romance with a woman named Veronica, while her father is on trial for murder, and Preston's father is the one defending him. And all indications by the end of the storyline are that this father is taking the rap for his daughter and her boyfriend, and Preston sort of gets caught in the middle of that. And that was a storyline that, you know, was imperfect, but at the same time, one of the points when I felt I kind of captured doing a story arc the way that I would, you know, writing for, again, something kind of more serialized. You know, when you think about all the TV shows that have these ongoing storylines and story arcs, this one felt like it kind of, you know, ran its course pretty naturally over the course of a summer. You know, and based on this whole daily structure, you know, I had these mythology entries. You know, when you think about the continuous storyline and the kind of entries that you couldn't miss, there were these entries that kind of told that continuous story, and some of them were in succession with each other, some of them were ones apart from some of the other ones. But then, you know, given that it was posted every day, I also did have some of what you might consider to be kind of throwaway entries, ones that, you know, were not as critical, just kind of Preston hanging out with his friends, or plus Preston kind of thinking about something. You know, and sometimes he's revisited the kind of scene of the crime with familiar characters showing up just for, you know, one entry returns to kind of pay that off. Because I think that is how life works, is, you know, we run into these people who, you know, used to be daily kind of fixtures in our life, and now they're people who are, you know, just not really a part of our existence anymore. They're more memories, and we see them, it's almost like ghosts kind of coming back to us. You know, there was also a basketball subplot that was kind of woven throughout the series. There was a point when Preston teams up with his roommate and Mike Weaver, their dorm mate, who's the leader of the basketball team on campus, and they play in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament together. And, you know, I made that kind of a short, relatively inconsequential angle. The thing with that was that Mike Weaver was a character I'd carried over from some other fictional efforts. He was the protagonist of Free Throw, the novel that I wrote back when I was in high school that I self-published. There's a whole other podcast dedicated to that project. But when I wrote that, and after I'd finished writing it, I had ideas of it being a trilogy. I had ideas of this story continuing. So, you know, it's this character, Mike Weaver, who, you know, had a crush on this girl, Alicia. She kind of shot him down. Then her cousin moves into town, Pepper, and Mike and Pepper end up falling in love and, you know, have their whole courtship. And in continuing that story, I'd imagine that in the second part, Alicia would come to Mike's college. So, you know, went from high school basketball to college basketball, and that at that point in the story, the two of them would end up sleeping together. And Pepper would find out, and it would be a big kind of dramatic scene and almost leave it on a cliffhanger. Then I'd have the third part, where Mike Weaver makes it to the NBA. And then, you know, they go back to have a championship game scenario, and kind of really closely mirroring what happened in the original Free Throw novel at the end, which is that Mike, you know, is at the foul line. He's had a perfect free throw shooting percentage, and sees Pepper in the stands, thought she'd already moved away, thought she was gone forever, and just sort of tosses the ball underhanded. So, you know, game on the line, kind of final second situation at the line, perfect free throw shooter, just lets the game go because it doesn't matter anymore relative to the girl he's in love with. And I imagine kind of recreating sort of a similar scene there. So this obviously never happened. This whole trilogy that I imagined, you know, by the time, you know, Free Throw was out in the world, I'd already moved on to other projects. And certainly by this point, when I was out of college, I didn't have any illusions about continuing the Free Throw saga. You know, it was done. It was something that I'd written and, you know, was proud enough of for the time, but not something I really planned to revisit in any meaningful way. But here I had this a fictional blog where I, you know, needed story ideas, I needed material, and I saw a pretty clean avenue. I'd already introduced Mike Weaver as a character, and I thought, well, why not really pay this off? Why not kind of see that story through? And so, in a series of probably two or three, you know, short kind of you know, little sub angles. I went to, you know, to Mike Weaver winning their Division III, you know, college championship. And, you know, that night sleeping with Alicia, you know, Pepper surprising him there, catching him in the act, you know, the big dramatic breakup there. And then in the final stages of the Preston Burns blog, I had revisited that whole scene there with you know, Mike Weaver going to the NBA, kind of an unlikely thing out of a D3 school, but I kind of made it that he had gone you know, to another league and ended up kind of getting signed informally to be kind of a 12th man who wouldn't get much playing time, but then someone goes down to an injury, you know, and a relatively elaborate and probably a little bit too elaborate for a character as relatively minor as Mike Weaver ultimately was in the Preston Burns mythology, but gave him a bigger role and had that whole story play out the way I'd originally planned it. So, you know, the workflow on this thing was pretty intense, because, you know, I was posting, you know, something every day. At that point, I was still, you know, a novice to publishing anything online, and I was working with, a Dreamweaver site that I'd kind of custom built that I didn't really, really know kind of the ins and outs of. I still can't really claim to know that sort of thing. But, you know, it wasn't like today when there's things like, you know, Blogger and WordPress, which are a little bit more built to kind of make blogging more accessible for someone who doesn't really have the technical background. So I was literally, going in every single day, and uploading the new entry, and updating the whole site with it. This is something where I thought, you know, when I was going into it, that, well, yeah, I'll just do this every morning and, you know, this will be part of my routine. Not thinking about the fact that, you know, I was traveling, you know, not a ton, but I was traveling some. I had some weekends away. I was visiting friends. I was, you know, visiting family for the holidays. So there were, you know, quite a number of stretches, and it just grew over the years when I'd have to post two or three posts at the same time, you know, with the understanding that, hey, I'm not going to actually be there to post these on, you know, the day it should have shown up, so it's going to be dated appropriately, but it's going to go live early. So, you know, another thing I was thinking about as I planned this blog was the idea that I could even weave, you know, current events into this storyline. Because I was publishing every single day, there was that idea that, you know, I could always kind of be on top of things. You know, so most TV shows that we watch, you know, are filmed, you know, months, if, you know, however much time in advance. I was thinking, you know, if I'm just writing this and making it live, then I have every opportunity to keep this really current. By the same token, I also wanted to get ahead of things. I wanted to stockpile some entries. I didn't want to have to feel that pressure every day that I needed to write, you know, a new post and needed to get it live and had a deadline. So I, you know, I started to write these posts, because I didn't want them to be rushed. I wanted to write when I had the time and, you know, have a bunch of them ready. So, you know, I started writing until I was, you know, months out and eventually, you know, over a year out in advance. So I had that whole idea of including, you know, current events beyond having been written in the last year. That's about as current as I could really claim to be, especially by the late stages of the blog. But this whole process really set a precedent for me in terms of how I look at blogging, how I look at generating content. You know, today, you know, I have the acapella blog, I have my personal blog, Three Words That Became Hard to Say. And for each of those, it's pretty routine for me to be writing, you know, at least a few months out, often over a year out. And so, you know, if something happens where, you know, I'm super busy with work or, you know, knock on wood, if I were to, you know, fall ill or get injured or something like that, I know that I can weather that period of months before I have to worry about generating more content. I've kind of got myself covered already. But with this whole model of having a post every day, I think there is an argument that I actually had too much content. I know that I did have a few loyal readers, some, you know, family and friends, you know, a very small handful of people who I didn't really know who were more friends of friends. But on the high end, I think I was getting, you know, around 50 to 75 readers a day, which, you know, I don't want to knock anyone because that those aren't horrible numbers if, you know, you're working on kind of a personal project or, you know, personal blog. But by the same token, in terms of, you know, building an audience, this was my first, you know, big project out of college. This is my way of kind of keeping in the writing world, my way of kind of, you know, putting my writing out to people in theory and kind of building a name for myself, I thought. And those kind of numbers just weren't accomplishing that for me. And I realized that, you know, one of the foils there was the idea that, you know, people would be able to keep up with the story. Because even people who liked it, who wanted to read the story, you know, probably weren't going to be able to read it every single day. And then it became that game of, well, if they don't read it one day, then they've got to catch up. And then, you know, by the time they catch up on that, then there's already new entries that have been accumulating in the meantime. So I started generating these weekly summaries to provide easier entry points. So I would still post, you know, a new post every day. But you know, it'd be a way of kind of catching up on a whole week of the essential events you needed to know about, or, you know, a general tone of what was happening in case there were specific storylines or characters you really liked. You'd get a sense of what was going on with that. But it was still just, you know, frankly, a lot of content. There were also some kind of, you know, not so great effects on my personal life as I was publishing this. So a lot of people, you know, kind of joked around about how this was sort of autobiographical. And, you know, it's true. A lot of the premises I took for this story and a lot of the way the Prestons thinks were very much based in my own reality. But with that said, there was also, I would argue, you know, more fiction than truth in this. Some of the bare bones, you know, setting the school where Preston, you know, attends college is not so dissimilar from my alma mater. You know, and again, a lot of his activities and jobs and whatnot reflect similar things to what I was doing. But what actually happens within these contexts tended to be pretty different. But still, you know, people kind of gave me a little bit of a hard time about that. And, you know, most particularly my partner at the time, didn't read the blog, because she was convinced that it was reflecting, you know, my inner thoughts and what I really, was imagining or whatnot. And it just didn't make her very comfortable and thought I was kind of representing her in a lot of ways. So, you know, that was kind of a point of contention between us, which wasn't, you know, entirely healthy. And to be fair, I don't think that we really talked about it, as maturely as we probably should have at the time. So the other piece of this, though, is, you know, again, I alluded to, you know, just kind of the kind of readership I was accumulating. Over time, the audience wasn't really growing, you know, so I ran this project. Overall, it lasted for 2 years and about 3 months. It was over 700 entries. I remember the exact number. I was like 720 something entries. And the audience just kind of, you know, stalled out at a certain point and kind of shrank down a little bit. And it was a huge time commitment. I was still, you know, hoping to pursue writing. It's a pretty serious endeavor, but, I wasn't getting any short stories written because everything I was writing was Preston Burns. You know, I had a novel kind of on the back burner that I, you know, picked back up for a little while, but it was almost impossible to pursue it in a serious way because, again, the focus was on this fictional blog. I'd had a plan originally for this story to go all 4 years of college. So I started halfway through, Preston's freshman year. And the idea was that I would, you know, finish that year, do the 3 years of college. If I achieved some sort of smashing success, I hadn't ruled out the idea that I would continue, and actually had kind of an idea for, Preston's wedding with Emma being the final entry, in there. And even after I'd wrapped up the blog, I considered maybe going back to that and, you know, writing just a short, like 1 week series, following that. But, you know, at that point, you know, I was writing the blog. I reached the end of Preston's junior year. I was approaching that point, I should say. And again, I was writing about a year out at that point. And saw, you know, just the amount of time I was investing and what kind of return I was getting, and decided, I just don't think this project's really worth it. I don't think that I'm kind of getting, you know, as much out of it. I reached a reasonable stopping point where I could squeeze in some of what I wanted to do with the end of this story. And in some ways, I would actually argue it ended up being a little bit better for not having some grand finale. I think that the way that the series did end ended up being a little bit more on point and kind of, you know, honest to what the blog had been up to that point. And, you know, by no means any, you know, kind of theatrics or melodramatic ending, just kind of a nice little resolution of things. Preston's back with Emma. He's driving off for the summer and, you know, feeling good about life. And that seemed like a good enough place to leave things. So takeaways from this project, you know, again, I recognize that in many ways it wasn't really a success, but there were some ways in which I do feel that it paid off. First and foremost, it reinforced the writing habit. So, you know, out of college, I wasn't in writing workshops right away. It would have been pretty easy to get out of the habit of writing and be just, you know, kind of another one of those writers who has all these great ideas and who, you know, wrote some things that showed potential, you know, was younger, but didn't really follow up on it. This got me in the habit of writing every single day. And that's something that I've, you know, for the most part, maintained since then as well. It also gave me closure on my college experience. You know, I talked about that idea that, I had a great time at college. You know, I finished up. I don't think I had an unhealthy attachment to college necessarily, but, you know, I know that I also did visit a number of times those first couple of years out, and that, you know, the people I consider to be, you know, some of my core friends, I still consider to be those people at college who weren't really part of my daily life anymore. So this was a good way of kind of saying goodbye to a lot of that, a lot of those institutions of college, and a lot of the kind of, you know, what ifs and playing with scenarios related to college, and just kind of getting it all out of my system and leaving it in a healthier place. So the Preston Burns Project is still live online. The full archive is online for free. Every now and again, I'll still go and take a look at it. I made the decision to keep renewing the domain there. I may let it go one day. I know that there are some actual people named Preston Burns out there who have not really expressed an interest, but have kind of, I don't want to say passive-aggressively, but, you know, have sort of made some notes online, you know, posting about this site saying, oh, so I guess that's why the domain's taken. Hint, hint. So, yeah, you know, I know there's doubt there, but for now, I kind of like the idea of the archive remaining out there and available, especially for those people who were, you know, loyal supporters of the blog when it was live. I like the idea that for those who, you know, did find some enjoyment in that blog, they can still go back to some of their favorite entries and relive a little bit of that. All right. Well, so that's the Preston Burns Project. So as always, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And special thanks go to Mike Peake for providing the theme music, not only for this show, but also for Preston Burns. So I sample one of his original songs at the start of every episode of this podcast. But he also wrote a song called On My Side. I asked him if he could write the theme song for Preston Burns. I was kind of looking to incorporate some music. I was actually for a little while thinking about, you know, kind of offering spots for other musicians to kind of cross promote and have their music shared on the site, with the idea that they would also tell people about the blog and, you know, maybe kind of cross pollinate our audiences. That idea never really took off, but you know, I really appreciated that my friend Mike Peake did write this song On My Side for the blog. Especially, I'm going to play that song on the outro for anyone who is interested in that. I'm just going to layer it in at the end of this episode. All right, but in any event, for those who are signing off now, I want to wish you all good health, happiness, and creativity. And I'll catch you next time. Grew up when we began to learn from our mistakes, and letting go and moving on to find the ones we'd made. Healing from the open wounds that leave us with our scars, living in the past and watching from afar. Passion is remembered. Love without regret. Hold close to ones you care about, so we won't forget. The days and nights go by, and nothing's been the same. These times are full of changes by every other name. Things we used to know on this road that we all ride. When I look back, will I remember time being on my side?
Time had passed so quickly that we never saw it go. And in the time that passed, the years had begun to show. Memories of the moments of when we fell in love. The little bits of heaven sent from above. Things will always change. Life will always keep us guessing. When did we lose our innocence? Did we lose it while the time was passing? The days and nights go by and nothing's been the same. These times are full of changes by every other name. The things we used to know on this road that we all ride. I look back, will I remember time being on my side. Stay so small when I held you in my arms. And I had it all, the brilliant song we sing and all the dreams we dream. But life, it still goes on and memories keep us strong. The days and nights go by and nothing's been the same. These times are full of changes by every other name. The things we used to know on this road that we all ride. When I look back, will I remember time being on my side?